staying with me in here while I turn to Genesis 47, verse 27. Genesis 47, 27. Brian's been a little sick, and so I decided to take over this Sunday school, let him have a little break. He'd be talking during the announcements, if you can hear him. He's a pretty good kid when he's asleep. He just doesn't get enough sleep. Don't you think so? He'd agree with me. Why don't we stand and let's read, starting with verse 27 of 47 and going through verse 4 of 48. I'll read the first. And Israel dwelt in the land of Egypt in the country of Goshen, and they had possessions therein and grew and multiplied exceedingly. And at the time drew near that Israel must die, he called his son Joseph and said unto him, If now I have found grace in thy sight, put I pray thee thy hand under my thigh, and deal kindly and truly with me, bury me not, I pray thee, in Egypt. And he said, Swear unto me. And he sware unto him. And Israel bowed himself upon the bed's head. And one told Jacob and said, Behold, thy son Joseph cometh unto thee. And Israel strengthened himself and sat upon the bed. And said unto me, Behold, I will multiply thee, and I will make of thee a multitude of people, and will give this land to thy seed after thee for an everlasting possession. Let's pray. Lord, help us to understand your word today. Help us to be blessed by it. We know, Lord, that you have blessed these people we're reading about, and we ask your blessing upon us. We thank you for all that you've given us. And Lord, we just want to praise you today. Open our minds. Draw our hearts to thee. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Jacob lived to 147 years. That's a good long life. Of course, not equal to his father. It was 185, I think. And then, of course, Joseph is his son. He's going to live to 110 years. Everything's not fair, is it? Everything's not equal, is it? Some of us are tall and strong, and some of us are short and skinny, and some of us are sickly, and some of us have all sorts of different things. You know? We're different, every one of us. But we're what God wants us to be. And God is going to work at us, work on us, and bring us into his will. Now, Jacob was, until 40 years old, a scheming scoundrel. He was. He was out to get everything for himself. He didn't mind lying to his father. He didn't. In fact, his mother helped him out. So evidently he was a little more like his scheming mother than he was his dad. And so he went after everything. But then he goes down and he marries his, four wives, two high-class wives and two servant-like wives. And he schemes with his father-in-law. So much so that the sons of the father-in-law are blaming him. Say, you've stolen all that was our dad's. You know, because he would make sort of deals, you know. I'm working for you, and these certain cattle and sheep will be mine, and these others will be yours. Well, it went along. Old Jacob had all the riches and all the wealth and whatever. But then when he gets to be 40 years old, he has to leave Laban. And he takes his wives and his kids, and he heads back to meet Esau. Now, Esau is one tough fellow. I would think from the descriptions of Esau, you wouldn't want to mess with him. You wouldn't want to meet him in a dark alley. He just was a tough guy. Jacob is not that way. Jacob stayed home cooking with mama while Esau is out running the woods and killing bear and lion and whatever. And so now then he's 40 years old. His brother is 40 years old. They're going to meet each other. And he's scared. And he had a right to be scared. He had cheated his brother. He'd fooled his brother. He'd lied to his dad. Done a lot of deceiving and a lot of things. Of course, he's a rich man. He's got four wives and a bunch of children. But he's going to have to meet Esau. Well, it put him in a time of prayer. Do you know why God puts you in hard times sometimes? So you'll seek him. Don't run everywhere else. When God puts you in a spot, in a bind, seek the Lord. Well, that's what he did. And the Bible describes it as the angel of the Lord or the Lord wrestling with Jacob all night long. And evidently it seemed like a wrestling match because it says the thigh of Jacob was out of joint. Well, now, if you know anything about wrestling, real wrestling, I'm not talking about this stuff, these great big 300-pound monsters throwing each other all over and then going out to eat steaks afterwards, you know, flipping a coin as to see who wins tonight. You know, I'm not talking about that kind of wrestling. I'm talking about, say, the guys in the sport up, say, in college wrestling or something like that. It's the real thing. You need your legs. You need the strength of your legs. Once his thigh was out of joint, he was over. He was over. And the angel of the Lord, or the Lord himself, however you want to look at it, said, give up. You're beat. I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Wow. Wow. He said, God, I want a blessing. He becomes a spiritual man. At 40 years old. From then on, he didn't change his name. Now, he's still called Jacob here, and I'm sure plenty of people still called him Jacob. But he had a better name, a spiritual name, Israel. You know what that means? Prince of God. That man's a spiritual man now, a prince of God. A prince with men and a prince with God. Wow. You know, it's sort of like my conversion experience and maybe your conversion experience. You remember it? Oh, I did. I was almost 21. I remember it. I remember the load going off my back. I remember the freedom and the peace that it brought to me and how I changed my thinking. Well, that's what it did to him. There was an experience with God where he became a spiritual man. And from the year 40 years, for 107 years, Jacob was a spiritual man, looking for spiritual benefits, spiritual blessings, and had an insight into some of those things. Now, that didn't mean he did everything right, but I'm just saying he went the right direction. Now, let me tell you something. There's a verse in the New Testament. I use it all the time. What you sow, you reap. Whatsoever a man shall sow, that shall he reap. If you reap to the flesh, if you sow to the flesh, you will reap the flesh. If you sow to the Spirit, you'll reap the Spirit. Now, some of you sitting in this room right here don't believe that. You don't really believe it. Because you keep sowing to the flesh. And you don't repent of it. You don't walk away from it. You don't apologize for it. You just keep sowing to the flesh. Well, let me tell you what's going to happen to you. And what you can see in the end of this Genesis right here. You see, this man became a prophet. What he speaks comes to true, comes to pass. And he's going to speak about his sons. And I'm not going to talk about all of them, but I'm going to hit on only three that were blessings and whatever. But you look at what he says about Reuben, his oldest son. He lost his place as the leader of the family. Why? He committed adultery with one of Jacob's wives. That's pretty bad. And that's one, he didn't kill him. But he was a son. And so, but you look at what happens. What he sowed, he later reaped. Simon and Levi. Oh, man, what an embarrassment to him. They kill people. They deceive people and kill people. And they're going to reap what they sow. In their future, in some of the things that are going to happen to them personally, you just read about it here in the 50th chapter. And they're going to reap what they sow. And you're going to see three people that come out real high. Jacob comes out high. Joseph comes out high. And Judah comes out high. Now, was Judah a good guy? Not necessarily. He was the one that said, sell Joseph. Remember? Hey, we don't want to kill him. We can get a lot of money out of him. He's a slave. We'll sell him as a slave. And we'll party for months on this right here. That was Judah. But then think about Judah later on. Benjamin. His own brother. Daddy's favorite. Didn't hurt that much because they'd seen how much Jacob was hurt by what they did. What they did brought consequences to Jacob. For a lot of years, he didn't see his son. Thought he was dead. So Joseph, in the experience we've already studied about, as they come down, he set a trap. And Judah came through. Judah said, look, I promised my dad I'd bring him home. So I will be a slave to you in place of him. And wow, what a change. What a change. Well, you're going to see some of these things. What you sow, you reap. It's an amazing thing. But look, if you will, at verses 3 and 4. He said, God Almighty appeared unto me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me. He said unto me, behold, I will make thee fruitful and multiply thee, and I will make of thee a multitude of people, and will give this land to thy seed, after thee, for an everlasting possession. Now, you understand, that's a promise from a prophet of God. That's a promise of God to the prophet. What are we talking about? Everlasting possession. I'm a Bible believer. I believe the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. I believe it's all the Word of God. I believe the New Testament interprets the Old Testament. And the Old Testament is the foundation for the New Testament. And then we have this great and wonderful salvation experience now that even me, a Gentile, can get a part of it. I come up, I hear the gospel, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus said, if it were not so, I would have told you. He's already told us, he's told us what we need. You don't even know anything else. You say, well, the Bible doesn't answer this. It doesn't have to. God decided you got what you need right here. And if you use your head, you'd understand that and let God teach you. But you're too smart for God. You're too smart from the Bible. Well, just look at what happens to people who don't listen. Amen. People who go their own way. And, bless your heart, you go any way you want, that's your freedom. Debbie, I think, gave me some advice. And I told her, my wife is dead, Debbie. I don't have a wife. I don't have to listen to you. You're Bill's wife. Billy's got to pay attention to you. I don't have to pay any attention to you. My wife's dead. Oh, yeah, I've been chewed out by my wife many a time. My wife was my worst critic. I don't have any critics now. I don't care about you. Okay. What I'm saying is that Rachel died back there. He lost the wife that he really loved. And he had three other wives. I'm sure he loved them in a certain way, but he didn't love them like he loved Rachel. And so they buried her in Bethlehem. Now, Joseph brings his two boys down, Manasseh and Ephraim. And he wants them to be blessed by his father. His father is a prophet, as he knows, he believes. And he wants them to be blessed. And he brings them up to his father. And his father's this old man. He's 147 years old. He's weak. He had to strengthen himself to get up and sit on his bed to greet Joseph and his two sons. And when he brings him ahead of him, the dad crosses his hands and puts his right hand on the younger son and his left hand on the older son, saying that the younger son was going to be blessed more than the older son. Happens lots of times. In the Bible, it's an amazing thing. Do you ever think about the prodigal son and the older brother? You reckon the older brother was saved? I don't know. He might have been a good person that wasn't saved. He didn't respond as well to certain things. Sometimes, here we go, Jacob inherits and Esau was supposed to inherit it. So anyway, he does this right here and Joseph interrupts him and tells him, no, that's not the way it is. This is the oldest one. He said, I know what I'm doing. He's a prophet. And then he prophesies about them. He said, your older son's going to do well, but your younger son's going to do better. And that's the way it happened. Now, if you want to take this chapter 50 and study out each one of these, it'll tell you about Reuben and why he's not the leader anymore. It'll tell you about these different ones. I'm going to just emphasize three. Now, first of all, I want to say that Jacob was a spiritual man from the time he was 40 years old on, not before. He had he had experiences with God. God was working on him. But he was still a schemer. And after he's 40 years old, his insight is spiritual. His insight is as a prophet of God. His insight is as Israel. His spiritual name before God is Israel, not Jacob. Jacob is heel catcher, supplanter, schemer. Israel is a prince of God and a prince of man. Now, what we have here in these last 10 chapters of Genesis, we've been studying Joseph. I think he's one of the greatest people you can ever read about. We don't ever find a sin. I know he had some. Because he wasn't perfect. But Joseph was an outstanding person. I mean, think of the things that happened to him and what he knew. Every place you put him, he comes out on top. You ever known anybody like that? I've known a few people. I've known some people with money. Now, that's not me. I'm not that good with money. But I've known people that everything they do turns to gold. I know a lot of people that want to be there, but that doesn't happen. And everything they do turns to disaster. I have been convinced in my life that if I'd have been a fisherman, I'd have starved to death. If I'd have been a farmer, I'd have starved to death. If I'd have been a businessman, I'd have been broke 15 times. I was meant to be a teacher and a preacher. I've been successful as a teacher and a preacher. So, hey, God fed me all these years. What'd Jacob say? The God who fed me. The God who fed me. Hey, he knew where his bread came from. At any rate, look back at chapter 35, verse 11. Chapter 35, 11. Last part of verse 10 says, he called his name Israel. God said unto him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee. Kings shall come out of thy loins. And the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac, to thee I will give it, and to thy seed after thee will I give the land. We got a lot of problems, and one of the biggest problems of the world is the Middle East, the land of Israel, the land with the Arabs. According to the Bible, that's Abraham's land. That's Jacob's land. That's Israel's land. And it's going to be forever. Now you look down at verse 19 of while we're in chapter 35, and look, it says, and Rachel died, was buried in the way to Ephrath, which is Bethlehem. Now, here's a man blessed of God, and yet the love of his life, the one he worked 14 years for, is dead and buried. He had to go through that terrible time there. Okay, thinking about Jacob, he goes through that terrible time. Then what else? He's got a favorite son. His favorite son is Joseph. Anybody wonder why? Joseph obeys him. Joseph honors him. Joseph does what he's supposed to do. Joseph is supposed to tell his dad how the crops are going and how the things are going like that. Well, Joseph didn't think his brothers were more important than his dad. And so he would tell on his brothers because he was faithful to his father. Now, that favorite son, boy, he got a beautiful coat. And there's a lot of other favoritism. There's no doubt we see favoritism in the family here with Joseph. And that probably hurt Joseph. Hurt him with his brothers. He gets sold into slavery. They were planning on killing him. They didn't like his dreams. I used to dream. I don't dream now anymore. I haven't dreamed in a couple of years that I can remember. But Joseph is dreaming. He's dreaming, I'm going to be king. You're going to be bound down to me. Well, that doesn't sound too good. It didn't even sound too good to Jacob. You know, me and your mother, we're going to come and we're going to bow down to you. Yeah, that's what he's saying. And all your brothers, well, you're not firstborn. All your brothers, we're going to all bow down to you. Yeah, that's what my dreams tell me. Hey, wait, fellas. One of these days, he might not have been too smart to have told his brothers everything he told them. We got troubles here. All right, so what we have is that they take him and sell him as a slave. Now, when they put him in, he gets sold as a slave, and he goes to Potiphar's house. What does he do? He cries and whimpers and whines all the time and says he's not going to work because he's a free man. No! He became the best slave there was. Every place you find Joseph. Potiphar's wife decided, that's a handsome young man. Come lie with me. She tempted him day after day after day. You know, certainly he had the temptations, but he said, no, I can't do that. This guy has put his whole house, even you, in my care. How could I sin against God? And he wouldn't do it. So she lies about him. It's happening all the time. It's happening right now. She lies about him. He gets thrown into prison. Well, after about a week in prison, he's running it. Why? He's more faithful than any other worker. Every place you put Joseph, he does the very best job that can be done without a bunch of complaining and murmuring and fussing, feeling sorry for himself. He didn't cry himself to sleep all night long. He got up and did what he had to do. What a man. What an attitude. Boy, some of you would improve your situation greatly by studying Joseph.
Amen.
What a man. He does what's supposed to be done, and before long, he's running the prison. And the guy that the jailer, he says, I don't have to do anything. I just turn it over to Joseph and say, take care of this, take care of that. It gets done. We've had a few people that work for the church here. And what they're supposed to do doesn't get done. When they're supposed to show, they don't show. They're not faithful. And so we decide not to hire them again. And they get mad. They get upset. How come? How come? Because you're not faithful. Well, that makes me mad. I'll leave church. Adios. Hasta luego. Hasta banana. Honestly. Look at Joseph. He worked harder than anybody in there. He took care that whoever he was responsible to was taken care of. If you'd do that, you'd be improved at your job too. But he goes 13 years that way. 13 years? Well, you can become a brain surgeon with 13 years of study. You could build, I'll bet you it didn't take that long for these guys that created the computers to make their billions. Wow. 13 years. Joseph was a faithful person every place you put him. And then when he comes out and he meets with his brothers, he becomes the head of Egypt. He's that boss. He's that king. And they can't recognize him because I imagine the Egyptians didn't wear beards. A lot of the pictures I've seen, the drawings I've seen, whatever, the Egyptians didn't look that way to me. Where the Hebrews, fully bearded, you know. So he was probably, when he went to be a slave, fully bearded. While he's running Egypt, he probably is clean shaved. And doing so, his brothers didn't recognize him. They couldn't recognize him. But they had to come. Their daddy said, go get us food. We're going to starve. Go get us food. And they come and they bow down to Joseph. Can you imagine what's going on in his head? Wow. Here are my brothers. And what are they doing? They're bowing down and begging me for bread. Isn't that something else? Well, he's a very good ruler of the country. He saves the country. He probably saves the Israelites too. Turn that phone off. I tell you what. Anybody else got a phone? Turn it off now. Amen. Mine's off. Bing, bing, bing. Yeah. Well, we'll forgive you this time. Please don't throw him out of the building, okay? All right. Joseph puts his brothers through tests. Very smart. Joseph's not a dumb guy. You'd do well to copy Joseph, wouldn't you? I would think so. I think you'd do well. Do your best to do your best and quit complaining.
Amen.
Quit your crying. You say, but I just cry so easily. Well, quit. Joseph is somebody you could follow. Joseph is somebody you can emulate. Joseph is one of the most interesting characters in the Bible anywhere. And you know what his whole purpose was? To protect the nation of Israel. He saved them. He got Egypt taken care of. Israel got over and got fed, went into Egypt, and came out a great big nation. They didn't go in a great big nation, but they came out a great big nation. Multiplied exceedingly. Now, I said somebody else. Judah. Judah. Look at chapter 49. Verse 8. Now you'll notice in verse 1, he's talking about his sons, and he talks about Reuben in verse 3, unstable as water 4, Simon and Levi, instruments of cruelty. And look at verse 7, cursed be their anger, for it was fierce. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. Now he's listing all his sons. He's working as a prophet right now. And by the way, you remember that little verse I told you? Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. You ought to read chapter 49 and 50. You really ought to read it. And look to see what he did and said about his own sons. Might help you think a little better. What God's going to do and how he thinks. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. It's an amazing thing. Everything has seed and is sowing. I've got a backyard, and I love to sit out there and rough my dog up and throw things for him and whatever. And it's a fenced in place. I never thought I'd like a privacy fence, but I do. I really do like the privacy fence. But I'm amazed every day little bitty weeds put out all these seeds. And the wind comes along and blows it off. And then the next day there's another thing rising up, and as the sun comes up, there they are. God's got this whole world where it's going to continue. Do you ever figure that out? He's got this whole world where it's going to continue planting seed. Anyway, looking at Judah, look at verse 8. Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Well, hey, I can find a few sins in Judah. You read your Bible well enough to know? Yeah, I can hunt you up several. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Judah is a lion's whelp. That means he's a young lion from the prey. My son, thou art gone up. He stooped down. He crouched as a lion, as an old lion. Who shall rouse him up? You got an old lion, a big old lion? Don't wake him up. Don't go in and punch him with a stick. You don't mess with old lions. The scepter, look at verse 10, shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, that's Christ. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Look at all the praise that comes to Judah. Now let me ask you something. Who are the Jews named after? Judah. That's it. Everybody knows them as Jews. That's Judah. They don't know where the 10 tribes went. The Mormons think they're all the Indian tribes, and they're all down converting them. When I was in Guatemala, we have a lot of Indians in Guatemala. Had a lot of Mormons too. Oh, they loved to find somebody that spoke English. I got to witness to a whole lot of Mormon missionaries because I was an English preacher and I'd let them in. I'd give them a few minutes for them to give me their spiel and then I'd give them mine. And, hey, we don't know where those 10 tribes are. I think they just amalgamated into the rest of society there. The Samaritans were supposed to be Jews and Assyrians mixed up, and that was the Samaritan race. But they're called Jews. Judah, they're going to praise. Let me tell you something. Judah did what? Well, he repented.
Amen.
He repented. He's the one that sold Joseph. He's the one that made that suggestion. Sell him. Let's get some money out of him. Let's do some good out of this. And they did. He went down into Egypt. He told his daddy, that man that's running Egypt says, if he doesn't see Benjamin, we don't get any food. He'll consider us liars and spies and whatever. Joseph did a real good job. So, Jacob says, if I lose him, I lose him. And Rachel only had two children, Joseph and Benjamin. And all he's got left of Rachel now, she's buried over at Bethlehem. All he's got left of her is that son that she died giving birth to, Benjamin. He has this special love in his heart for him. You know, I think that all these boys, when they came back from selling Joseph, and giving their dad that bloody coat, and they saw how much it hurt them, I believe they realized they had a worse life with their dad so sorrowful. They had a worse life. They had a better life when Joseph was around being petted than when dad's so sorrowful and so sad and so brokenhearted over the loss of his favorite son. And that was because these two boys were the sons of his favorite wife. I don't have that problem. I only had one wife. So I had to treat all my kids the same. I'm joking, okay? You don't think I was joking because you're not laughing. But at any rate, Judah goes down there and he takes Benjamin with him. Well, of course, Joseph puts his scepter, glass, or cup in Benjamin's sack. All of his money in his sack. Lets them get out of town a ways. And they send the sheriff after them and they open them up and they examine them. And who's got it? Benjamin's got it. What are we going to do? I love that. I love that story there. What are we going to do? How'd this happen? How did he know? Did anybody know? They were terribly confused by that. So they haul him on back. And one of the most beautiful statements is Judah's statement. I can't let the old man suffer. He finally learned to think about somebody besides himself and besides a party and besides a good time. He thought about his dad and he said, I'll be your servant forever. Let the boy go back to his dad. I can't not let him go back. I gave him a word. You know what? That's a big change for Judah. You ever had an experience where you changed and you started acting a different way because of your experiences? Bless your heart, you ought to.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
I got to say, just about 60 years ago, I haven't smoked cigarettes in 60 years. I haven't drank liquor in 60 years. I haven't gambled in 60 years. I don't even flip for a Coke. I'll just buy the Cokes. I wonder what would have happened to me if I hadn't gotten saved. If I didn't have that experience. If I didn't get changed. I might have died at 45 with a black lung. Cancer of the throat or cancer of the chest or something. I smoked 2 packs a day whenever I quit, 21 years old. Bless your heart. He made a change. Amen. You study Judah. You study Joseph. And you study Jacob. And what you're going to find is that they had a change. They were touched by God. I'm sure it was not like our conversion experience as a Christian. But it has a similar thing. They were touched by God and their lives were changed. They became more spiritual men. They became somebody that you could count on. You could carry and go through. Look at verse 7 of chapter 50. Now the last verse of 49, Jacob made an end of commanding his sons, gathered up his feet under the bed, yielded up the ghost, and was gathered unto his people. Verse 7, chapter 50. Joseph went up to bury his father, and with him went up all the servants of Pharaoh. Hey, we're getting a big crowd. The elders of his house and all the elders of the land of Egypt. We don't just have all the Jews. We don't just have all the Israelites, all of Jacob's family. We got all of Pharaoh's family. We got the leaders of Egypt are going to go bury this man. All the house of Joseph and his brethren and his father's house, only their little ones and their flocks and their herds, they left in the land of Goshen. And there went up with them both chariots and horsemen. It was a very great company. And they came to the threshing floor of Atad, which is beyond Jordan. And there they mourned with a great and very sore lamentation. And he made a mourning for his father 7 days. They had held him 40 days in Egypt already after he was embalmed. Now they made this long trip. They got out to this place where they're going to bury him. And he gives a mourning for 7 days. When the inhabitants of the land of the Canaanites saw the mourning at the floor of Atad, this is a grievous mourning to the Egyptians. And his sons, verse 12, did unto him according as he commanded them. For his sons carried him into the land of Canaan, buried him in the cave of the field of Machpelah, which Abraham bought for a field of possession of a burying place in Ephron the Hittite from Mamre. And Joseph returned to Egypt. Now the brothers are still a little afraid of Joseph. Joseph has an awful lot of power. Joseph is like the king of the land. The Pharaoh lets him do anything he wants to do. So they're afraid of him. And here they are, they're not honest enough to do it honestly. They've got to sneak around and say, Daddy said, for you to have mercy upon us. Daddy didn't say that. Daddy knew Joseph was going to have mercy on him anyway. But you know what he did? He said, am I in the place of God? For am I in the place of God? Verse 20. But as for you, you thought evil against me. But God meant it unto good. Can you learn anything from this verse? You ought to learn something from this verse. Am I in the place of God? Don't you fear? Fear not. You thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. Fear ye not, I will nourish you, your little ones. And he comforted them. And then it says about Joseph dying. Verse 24. He's 110 now. Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land. Is that faith? I believe that's faith. God will surely visit you and take you out of this land, which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from hence. And so Joseph died, being 110 years old. They embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. Look at Exodus chapter 13, verse 19. Exodus 13, 19. And Moses took the bones of Joseph. Hey, this is hundreds of years later. This is somewhere down the line. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, and he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from hence with you. I don't hear this from any other leader of Israel. Isn't that amazing? Joseph said, I don't want to be buried in Egypt. You carry my bones out and bury him, and he's buried in Israel to this day. Look, if you will, at Hebrews, verse 11:22. Here's one of the great acts of faith. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. How about that? I have enjoyed Genesis. I hope you have.